Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm delighted to have with me today, all the way from Australia, but actually he's in LA today, it's Rob Nixon. Rob, hello to you.
Great to be here. Hello to you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
So for the last 24 years, I've been advising accounting firms in 16 countries. For the last 12 specifically, been coaching accounting firms and directly coached 434 firms, added $850 million in profit to those firms, written 3 books, spoken at about 2,000 events. My life for half of my year, I'm 48, for half my year has been working with accountants all over the world. For my sin.
Are you an accountant by trade, Rob? Because you're counting all the numbers up very well.
I actually left school when I was 16, so no, not an accountant by trade, but I was a straight-A student in math. And so I'm very good with the numbers. I think all these accountants have rubbed off on me over the years as well.
What excites you about them? How did you drift into their world?
So what excites me about accountants is their impact on their clients. Whenever I give an accountant an exercise called Find Opportunities, where they get a P&L and a balance sheet of a client, I say, right, I don't dig deep on this. What else can we do for the client? They always come up with new ideas, new suggestions, and that excites me because accountants can do so much good. You know, pretty much in the Western world, every single business person is connected to an accountant. And with good training, with good systems and procedures and good services, accountants can literally change the landscape of their business clients. And if we get enough of them, we can change the world.
Are you on a crusade, Rob? Are you an evangelist in what you believe in?
Absolutely. I believe accountants are the natural trusted advisor. They need to be it. I believe accountants don't earn enough money for how smart they are. They should be making at least £1 million profit per partner. I believe that technology is an enabler, but it's also a disruptor as well. You bet I'm on a crusade.
Sounds like you are. I can hear the passion in your voice. And you mentioned trusted advisor there, Rob. It's a phrase that's bandied about here in the UK and all over the world. What does that actually mean for you?
So I believe the action of being the trusted advisor is that an accounting firm or the accountant is helping all of its clients that they want to keep achieve their goals. And I believe that the action of being the trusted advisor is that all clients are buying all services from you that helps them achieve their goals.
Yeah.
And if an accountant did that, they'd first of all have an endless stream of business and they would enhance their credibility as the trusted advisor.
Yeah, it's
so important. Accountants can make such a massive difference to their clients' condition.
Yeah. Rob, you deal with accounting firms of all sizes across the world. Do you see any difference between the accountant in a smaller firm and, say, a big top 50, top 100 firm?
Yeah, certainly the behavior of the partners is different. You know, really the very large firms, the partner, it's basically a job, and their productivity, utilization, or chargeable time is so much higher, which is crazy, but that's the way it is. Where a smaller firm, you know, 1 to 3 partners, 1 to 4 or 5 partners, they can really make a bigger difference and run a business that is their business. They can have a multi-million pound business if they choose. And I think the smaller firms are more nimble and they can have a bigger impact in a shorter period of time than the larger firms are because they're so large and so hard to move.
So what is there to envy about the larger firms? What can the smaller firm accountants learn from those in the larger firms? Anything or nothing?
Well, absolutely they can learn. The big thing in the larger firms is their, you know, their education, learning management, specialties, niche markets. They've got multiple service sectors that they deal with. So I think the smaller firms can learn a lot from that style of niche markets and going deep on one market.
I had an example the other day of an accountant that only does audits for oil rigs. And I thought,
there you go.
Very specialized.
There you go.
Yeah. So what, in your view, separates a good accounting firm from a great one?
So as you picked up before with my mathematics, right, I'm a bit of a fanatic on metrics and benchmarks.
Yeah, KPIs.
Yeah. And what I look at, okay, why does one firm outpace another one? And I think it comes down to really two things. One, the systems adopted internally, their methods. And two is the management / leadership of that firm. And so if it's a GP business just pricing arrears, it's not going to get great metrics. If it's a specialty business, it's got niche markets, it's value-added services, It's been led in that way. It's driving value pricing. It's going to outpace and outstrip the GP regular traditional accounting firm.
What do you feel are some of the biggest challenges firms are facing right now, Rob, particularly if they want to grow?
Well, the number one challenge is the apathy of the owners of the firm. If you look at the world of accounting firms, there's 1.3 million accounting firms globally, about $500 billion in revenue. And the accounting profession is the most profitable industry. It's been very profitable over the world for a long, long time. Recessions don't hit it. Good times are good. Bad times are still good. And so consequently, the partners have always had a good income. And that breeds comfort. I've got the kids at private school. I drive a nice car. My vacations. It's comfortable. Now, the challenge with comfort breeds apathy, complacency, and lack of progress. So I think the biggest challenge is the need and the will to do something different. That's the biggest challenge.
Very good. I couldn't agree more. Do you find in your travels across the globe that there is any difference between the accountancy scene in, say, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, the States?
Yeah, there's someone way back when, a guy called Reginald Herbert Smith in 1919, as a lawyer, invented the billable hour.
Yeah.
And somehow the accountants caught on and pretty much every country I've been to, except for Brazil, operates in the same way. So, of course, the legislation is different, but globally it is structured as a labor-for-hire business model. And unfortunately, that is not the business that accountants are in. Their business model may be selling time or selling labor, but what they're really selling is expertise and knowledge. And once they realize that, they need to change their whole model to have a bigger impact. But really, globally, it's a labor-for-hire business model.
Are there any aspects of the accounting sector that hasn't evolved as quickly as it should have, in your opinion?
Three things. Marketing, sales, and productization. That has not evolved. They're catching on, but quite slowly, I think.
And in terms of the opportunities for successful firms, what do you see as really working for the good firms?
Well, the number one thing is definitely moving the revenue mix away from compliance dependency to business advisory.
Yeah.
Compliance dependency, it's a commodity product. The machine will do it. We've got artificial intelligence these days, robotics these days. Soon have blockchain in the profession. That's a big killer. Audit will be sodomized because of blockchain.
You tell it how it is, Rob. Come on.
That's why I get paid.
Yeah.
But the move to advisory, really what I said at the opening, if I give you a P&L and a balance sheet, and you analyze it and advise the client what's going on, an accountant can make a massive difference. So let's go there, because those services are more useful, they're more relevant to the client. You can do it with speed. You can charge on value-based fees for it. Far more useful services, without a doubt.
Yeah. How has the way firms win business changed over recent years, if at all?
Well, it used to be you sit back on your bum and accept a new referral from an existing client.
Yeah.
Still happens today. But what I have seen is more of a marketing bent. Let's target a niche market. Let's go after doctors. Let's go after graphic designers. Let's go after breweries or the audit for my oil rigs. Let's go after them actively. That has definitely changed and changing quite quickly.
Does that float your boat? Do you believe in niching, Rob?
You bet, 100%. Smaller accounting firms should really double down on one niche market, become an expert in it, own that market, and really grow their firm. I work with a firm in Melbourne. They've been in business for 54 years. Very nimble firm, although an older established firm. 100% doctors and dentists, and they've spawned 24 other businesses off their current firm. Group revenue is over $100 million, just doctors and dentists.
Yeah, there's a firm in the top 100 here in the UK that just deals with car dealerships and automotive. Is there any bad doctrine or bad advice you see being put out there that accountants would do well to stay away from?
Ditching timesheets is bad advice. The advice given to get rid of the timesheets, 100% get rid of the billable hour, right? Totally agree with that. But getting rid of the timesheet reporting mechanism at the same time is just bad advice. I've literally met less than a handful of firms that by ditching timesheets are better off for it. That is bad advice. Definitely ditch the billable hour. Definitely ditch the charge rate, but go to £1 an hour. You know, record the efficiency, how much time it's taking. You can measure the average hourly rate. You can measure the throughput, That is bad advice.
What are the chief KPIs that progressive firms should be watching out for, Rob?
So I think there's six as far as key result areas, KPIs, numbers, whatever you want to call them, right?
Let's hit them all,
right? So first of all, there's average hourly rate for all hours worked. There's two equations of average hourly rate. One is client hours and one is all hours worked. So client hours, I did £1 million in revenue. I did 10,000 as a team client hours, therefore £100, right? All hours worked. I did £1 million in revenue. I hire 20 people. They each work 2,000 hours. So that's 40,000 hours. 40,000 hours into £1 million is £25 an hour. That is a better number, right? So average hourly rate, all hours worked. It's a measure of efficiency. It's a measure of pricing. It's a measure of administrative mix. It's a measure of everything. Next one, number two, is going to be TUB. TUB, time under budget. So for the month of July, our revenue is going to be 200,000. Our team was going to do 1,000 hours, budgeted hours for the month. We did it in 800 hours, 20% time under budget. Our TUB factor is 80%. Awesome. Let's keep doing more of that. We're 20% under budget, right? So our objective there is to minimize the time. Number three is going to be new clients. How many new clients did we win last month of the type that we want? Not just random clients, but new clients of the type we want. It's a sign of vibrancy. It's a sign of marketing, sales, and growth, of course. Then number four, average fee per client. So simply revenue divided by number of clients, average fee per client. And that's going to be a measure of, are these clients properly serviced? Are they buying all services they need that helps them achieve their goals? Typically, you find a business client might be paying £2,000, £3,000, £4,000. They're just buying compliance. But if they're paying £10,000, £15,000, £20,000, £30,000 per year, then they're going to be buying all sorts of additional services. So let's make sure with our expansion revenue, the average fee per client is increasing. And the last two are going to be revenue and profit. So driving revenue, driving profitability. I believe, and I've seen it time and time again, that, and I know how to do it, we can get profit for the firm around 55, 60, 65% before partner salaries, whilst the partners are doing less than 500 client hours. So it's very easy to prop up profits in an accounting practice. Just get the partners to do more chargeable time. They've got the highest charge rates. But in an accounting business, we want to run it as a business, not a practice. We will get the partners to do less chargeable time, more sales and marketing, more leadership. And so profits around 55, 60%, revenue as much as we possibly can. So there's the six.
Love it. I can see how those numbers on the dial would really drive growth.
A couple of bad ones, since you're asking about good KPIs.
I can see how those numbers on the dial would really drive growth.
A couple of bad ones.
Yeah.
First of all, productivity or utilization, which is the percentage of time that an individual does out of their work time. My productivity is 65, 75%, as in my build time versus available. It's such a bad number because it promotes the wrong behavior. It promotes more chargeable time. It promotes padding timesheets, going slow. And effectively, it's an unethical measure because you are incentivized by ripping the client off, effectively. Bad measure. Another bad measure is going to be write-offs or utilization percentage. It is just bad news. It just promotes the wrong things. It becomes a moot point when you change. And two others which are good measures, but really are moot points, is going to be work in progress and receivables. You know, when you get your clients on a monthly fixed price agreement, paid by the month by direct debit or credit card, whatever it is, work in progress and receivables are a moot point. That's some other numbers.
Rob, how coachable do you find accountants when you're going in, driving change, bringing in fresh ideas? Obviously, they're very technical in nature, aren't they? Do you see them malleable to new ways of thinking?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, what I find bizarre about the coaching world with accountants is accountants are coaching their clients, first of all. They are advising their clients every day. But how many of them actually engage and eat their own advice that we need a coach or an advisor as well? Not technical help. You're very good at that. No one's going to teach you technical help. But in how to run that business, there are dozens and dozens of experts around the world, and I know most of them, and some fine ones in the UK, that can actually really help you make a massive difference to your accounting business and also your clients' businesses as well.
Rob, when you look at the strong performers in an accounting firm, they've obviously got strong technical skills, but what else does a 21st century accountant need to do what they need to do?
Well, if you're going to run a better business, you have to be a better business person to start with. So this is the business of accounting. This is a business. It's a multi-million pound business. You've got 200 clients, 300, 400, 500 clients, whatever it is. If you look at the gross revenue in your client base. Let's say you've got 200 clients. Let's say they average £1 million in revenue each, ranging from, you know, small contractors through to small companies. At £1 million each, that's £200 million of revenue in your client base. An accounting firm can positively or negatively affect, as in negatively do nothing, just be reactive and be the compliance accountant, or positively, you know, get on the front foot, offer advice. So when you think of that, that client base and the group revenue, the group profit, the group wealth in the client base, and you are the trusted advisor, then you better enhance your skills as a business person to really help them, not as a technical accountant, but running the business and advising businesses. So I think the savvy ones are investing heavily in what might be called soft skills, but more business skills, development skills, people skills, selling skills, advisory skills, really doubling down on that.
Yeah, I like that. You say selling skills, Rob, but whose job is it to win work in an accounting firm?
So this is a bit of a bad myth. They go, oh, everyone should be winning work. It's absolute rubbish. The people who have an inclination to win work should be the ones that are winning work. So if I've got a 10-partner firm, and if a partner can't win business or doesn't want to win business, then they're an overpaid accountant and they're surplus to requirements as a partner. They're getting paid too much. So partners definitely should have a KPI on how much new business to win, but also the second and third levels down. You know, there might be a client manager or a senior accountant who has the abilities to meet with a prospective client and to bring some business over. Well, if they've got the abilities and the wherewithal and the want, then let's train them up. Let's reduce their personal productivity and let's get them out on 10 or 20 sales meetings a month and bring in some new business. So it is the people who have the inclination to win new business, we can train them to win more.
Mm. You may have just swayed my view on that, because I've traditionally thought it's everyone's job to win business, even down to the secretaries and PAs. They can chat to someone at the school gates and open a door for the firm. Would you go along with that much?
Yeah, they can do that for sure. But ultimately, we still need technical people. And some people are just more comfortable sitting behind the two or three screens, punching out technical work. Great. No worries with that.
Mm.
But if we were to find the people that are, let's say it's the receptionist, right? If he or she is great at winning business, then let's reduce the receptionist duties and get that person focused on more school functions, for example, bring some business in.
Yeah. Well, give them a pack of business cards and send them out to a few networking events.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get your crystal ball out, Rob. What's critical for the large progressive accounting firms over the next few years?
Oh, that's a big one. I've stopped making predictions a few years ago because they either come right or woefully wrong, right? So I think the big one is really to embrace technology, really embrace it. Just look at every technology hack out there, every app out there. What can we do to really enhance the progress of this firm with tech? We've seen massive moves in cloud accounting. The UK is about number three in the world as far as adoption of cloud accounting in the business sector. We've just started seeing artificial intelligence and robotics come through. And the big one, the big unknown is blockchain. It's looking at how can we use marketing technology? How can we use sales technology? How can we use, you know, little appointment setting technology to minimize the receptionist or the secretary of the PA type role? Looking at every technology thing out there to make it a better business. I think that's the big one. And of course, moving more into advisory services, I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. You have a huge drive for knowledge yourself, Rob. I know you're learning, reading all the time. Do you have a personal philosophy for success?
My personal success formula, if you like, is I want to do what I want, when I want, with whom I want, in a manner I want. So that's my definition of success. You know, I've constantly got my head in books and seminars and other things. We should never stop learning. You know, be a lifelong learner, because there's always someone out there or something out there that's done what you want to do. And there's always another idea out there that you could adapt. It could be from a bizarre industry that you can adapt in your firm. Not just attending a seminar, but jumping on a plane and seeking out an expert. Call them up. You know, there's people out there all over the world that have done what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Is there a thinker, a book or a movement that's most shaped the way you think about life and business?
You know, I was very blessed at the age of 17, so 31 years ago, to get my first book, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And since then, devoured so many, but mentors, the likes of Jay Abraham for marketing, Paul Dunn, who's very well known in the UK, has been a mentor for 30 years.
Amazing guy, yeah.
He's an investor in one of my companies. We talk all the time. So it is endless. There's no one person shaped me.
Is there anything you believe deeply that other people think is crazy?
Yeah. People find it bizarre that I work 100% with accountants, right? Really? And people, are you an accountant? No, I'm not an accountant, right? Once they understand why I work with accountants, they get over it. But initially they go, you work with accountants? They must be so boring. So no, my clients are awesome, right? They're entrepreneurial. They kick butt. They party hard. They work hard. They do good for their clients. I don't get to deal with the cardigan brigade and the soft sole shoe guys with zips up the side, right?
And what frustrates you most about your job or the accounting profession generally?
Lack of implementation. Attend a seminar, get your CPE or CPD credit, great, but then do nothing about it. Read a book, do nothing about it. Firms I coach, I force implementation, but even still, they could do a lot more. So it's implementation of good ideas, the lack of, which goes back to my previous point, they're comfortable doing nothing, so why change? So I do group accountability. My coach, 8 at a time in a room. They're embarrassed into success, thump the desk, point fingers, swear at them sometimes, and they are held accountable by me and their peers. And they do things, they get things done.
Yeah, excellent. Sounds great. Rob, this has been a terrific conversation. So much wisdom in there. If people want to know more about what you do, how might they get in touch?
Email rob@robnixon.com or look at profitablepartners.com.
And what kind of things would you do with the firm?
First of all, I'd interview them to see if they're applicable to what I do, because what I do is not for all. My style is a bit bullish. It's a bit full on. And so, you know, let's have a consultation. Let's see, you know, where you're at now, where you want to go, what are the roadblocks, and I'll tell you yes or no whether you know, you're the type of firm that I can actually help.
Rob Nixon, that's been world class. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Awesome.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.